Deer Before Sunset. Something I found myself doing while watching you was going, oh, this is my favorite scene. And then another scene would come along and I'd be like, oh no, this is my favorite scene. That kept happening. That's how you know it's a good episode. Sincerely, Bridget.
Deer Before Sunset. Okay, I know a lot of serious long-term consequential stuff happens in this episode, but to me, you will always be Vampire Diaries physical comedy at its finest. Sincerely, Deanna.
Welcome to Dear Vampire Diaries, where today we have the distinct pleasure of escorting you through this episode of The Vampire Diaries, Season 3, Episode 21, Before Sunset. I'm your host, Bridget, and our guest today is Deanna. Hi, Deanna! So glad to have you on.
So glad to be back.
We won't be delving into future episodes today, but we will be discussing this episode, Before Sunset, in detail. You've been warned. Speaking of warnings, we have a content note. Vampire Diaries contains heavy themes, so please check the episode description for trigger warnings and resources. You can support the podcast by going to the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, following the show on social media, which is also in the show notes, or by leaving us a great review. You can also write into us at dearvampdiaries@gmail.com. All right, Deanna. It's the summary off.
Let's do it.
This is the episode where, according to HBO, Klaus prepares to leave town with Elena, but finds resistance from a surprising new enemy. Surprisingly, yes, I said that correctly, as per written, they were so surprised they forgot the R in surprisingly.
Surprisingly.
Damon and Stefan talk candidly about the future. And the Peacock summary says, Klaus tries to leave town with Elena, but runs into resistance. Bonnie needs help with a spell.
I mean, HBO always wins, right?
Yes, HBO always wins. I'm kind of starting... Peacock is growing on me. Like, you grabbed a random person on the street and you were like, what happened? And they're like, I don't know, Bonnie needs some help, so...
The episode where Klaus is hysterically funny, the end. Like, this is that episode.
This is that episode. Oh, it's so good.
So, before we actually even get into the episode...
Yes.
This is how Klausy this episode is, at least for me, and apparently for somebody else. Joseph Morgan does the previously on, which I don't think we've ever heard before.
He's got his little voice going, previously on The Vampire Diaries.
I know we'll talk about it. This is a showcase for Klaus in a lot of different ways, but yes. It was lovely to hear.
I love him. I love everything in this, except for maybe this random little montage that we begin.
I did not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a globe, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the town square, mass graves. And I'm just like, I don't know, is that to give us history classroom context? What is that about?
I mean, first of all, is this the only thing that this high school teaches? It's always the Civil War, occasionally revolutionary, but it's usually, right? The close-ups, yeah, and like the figurines of the dead soldiers made me go, somebody thought this was some kind of like super intellectual symbolism. But I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, like, it's my literal job to read symbolism, and I feel like this is pointless.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Kind of like a lot of homages to history in this show, where we're just like, what?
Yeah. Like, is Alaric the fallen soldier? What is happening here?
Ah, the good old days when Alaric taught us all about the history of... No. So he's just, we see him there. He's evil. He's lying in wait. His feet are up. He's twirling his indestructible stake and mustache.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's doing.
Literally, I have written twirling his mustache.
Amazing. That's the energy.
Yeah.
So in the corridor outside, Caroline's on the phone with Tyler and he's all, I'm helping Klaus move and I'm moving right now. And I've never wished to have a hybrid army before ever. But I could really use it right now.
Oh,
like,
I do wonder why Tyler's the only one. Is there another hybrid anywhere in there? I feel like it's just Tyler.
That's a good question. There's a random nurse at some point. So unless he has a hybrid nurse, I think he just compelled himself a Mystic Falls Hospital nurse.
Huh.
But
okay,
yeah, Tyler's the only one for some reason.
I mean, I hope he gets beer and pizza at the end of it, but I feel like he doesn't.
Speaking of beer and pizza, we go to the cafeteria where Rebecca is already cleaning up. And it's like a little bit contentious at first. Like, she's like, you're 2 minutes late. And Caroline is like, Jesus. And but they do share this moment where, like, Rebecca's like, I didn't even get to attend the dance that I organized. And who can understand that more than Caroline? Of, like, what that means. And... It's nice to see them on a little same page for a second.
Yeah.
With empathy to each other.
I mean, they do have that sweet moment of, I'm sorry about your teacher, I'm sorry about your mom. But I do want to say justice for Caroline, because technically she was there on time. She just got stuck in the hallway talking to Tyler. So it's Tyler's fault.
That's right. It always is.
Caroline is nothing if not punctual.
Yes. No. 802 is on time. Rebecca is in the corridor and gets ambushed by evil Alaric. And Caroline comes out to try and help her. And they stake him together. They like, it's nice to see them very much on the same team. Teamwork usually makes the dream work, but this does not work. And they both try to run away. And that works okay for Rebecca, but Caroline, if there would ever be a time to not use your car and just vamp run through the forest away, it would be this. But she does this, the classic horror movie, like, ingenue, like, drops the keys, you know, kind of thing. And then he's there and he snaps her neck. And there's this amazing music moment where it's like, and he's like dragging her. Oh, it's so good. As Rebecca like watches, and Lark is like sizzling in the sun. Oh my God.
I do love that moment where they stake him together. I wrote down Barbie Klaus and Vampire Barbie.
Yes. Oh my God.
More of that. These two fighting together.
Yes. I love that.
But yeah, that music cue, fantastic. It's just, yeah, it's a great wide shot of the whole thing happens.
Yes.
Body burning. Poor Caroline. They really love to torture Caroline. I mean, I really hate this part.
I know. I wrote, like, she is, like, our, like, torture actress queen from this.
Yeah.
Because, like, when she makes noises in pain later, it's like hearing an animal in pain is how it affects me.
Yeah,
like,
it's heartbreaking.
But before that, we go to the guest bedroom. It's now the guest bedroom at the Gilbert house. Their parents' bedroom, Jenna's bedroom, used to be Alaric's bedroom. And they're painting it, and Stefan shows up, and he's, like, back to being his gentlemanly self. Like, he's asking if he can help them paint. He's not overreacting to Jeremy's outbursts, and he's offering to go get the door when it ding-dongs. Who is at the door but Bonnie and Damon? And Bonnie's neck is bloody, and she looks kind of like when a dog knows it's done something bad, which is sad, because it's not her fault.
She didn't do anything wrong. She didn't know.
No. Ugh. And I feel like Damon almost has her, like as a naughty child, like, by the ear or something. Like, he's like, look, we have a problem, you know. Cut to the Michelson mansion. Rebecca is there to fill Klaus in about Alaric. She's like, we need to leave, like, right now. And he's like, yeah, I'll just go pick up Elena. And she's like, no, screw Elena. Screw your hybrids. Like, we need to leave. And it's, I think she's really hurt once again that he's, like, picking this other thing over her after so many years of, like, running from Michael together, where it was just the two of them. Like, she's reverted back to that. And, you know, after standing up to Michael earlier in the season, dealing with Esther, to see that he hasn't grown through those experiences closer to her, I think that she feels really hurt here, which is why she sort of storms
I think he
off.
Does too. I mean, they're both, I mean, this is a small scene, but it's a really good scene for both of them. Like, they both have tears welling in their eyes.
Mm.
Like, you know, she's hurt by him, and he just can't get over whatever it is, his pride, his narcissism, like, all of the above, to just be with his sister, right? Like, it's, they're saying angry words at each other, but the looks they're giving each other are just, like, they're just in pain.
Yes. Like, you're supposed to be my person. And why can't you get this? And they both feel that way.
And I think he genuinely wants to be the kind of brother that will just go with her, and something stopping him.
Hmm. Interesting.
I just love them.
Yes.
I just love them.
We go to the Gilbert kitchen, where Damon is, I think, rightfully mad at himself for not killing Alaric when he had the chance. That would have solved so many of our problems.
But we get good Bonnie and Damon banter. And that is always worth it.
We do! I love them together.
Yeah.
They're just, I think there's just something about, like, she has, like, a straight man kind of thing, and he gets to have the jokes, but, like, she gets to be annoyed at him in, like, the perfect hilarious way.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, yeah. But she's like, there must be a witchy workaround, but she doesn't know exactly what it is. Meanwhile, cut to Elena, who, oh God, the most terrifying thing in the world, to get a call from someone that you believe to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Chilling. And of course, he's got Caroline hostage, and she's sitting there with pencils in her hands, and she looks up with tears in her eyes, and it just tugs at my heartstrings.
I mean, she's so good. You're right. She's so good at this.
She really is. It's upsetting how good she is at this. It's like, oh, man. I hope that those days on set weren't harrowing.
I mean, so one thing I was thinking of is, like, the vervain gag sounds horrible as it is, but as I'm like watching the tears stream down her face, I'm like watching the tear, like waiting for it to make contact with where her skin is raw, just like thinking about how much that must hurt.
Oh.
And I don't like that. I don't like that this show is making me think about that sensation. No, thank you.
So true. They do torture so well and I hate it. Speaking of things that I hate, Jeremy opens the door and immediately is like, Klaus, I don't like you. But it might be one of my favorite comedic moments where Stefan is like, go to your room, to Jeremy.
He just listens. He just goes.
And Klaus is like, obviously I'm here for Elena. And they shut the door right in his face. And immediately Stefan is like, Elena! Like, dude, he can hear you, you know. Klaus is pacing outside. He grabs the day's newspaper. Is he gonna read it? No. In the guest bedroom upstairs, they go upstairs and Jeremy and Stefan both are like, oh shit, Elena's not here, because of course she went to go save Caroline or like sacrifice herself. And they watch Klaus pacing outside. And you know what this is giving? It's giving Elijah finds a bunch of quarters.
Ooh, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's exactly, yeah, this is that ramped up a couple notches.
He smashes their window with the newspaper and Stefan covers Bonnie because he's back to being good.
And Damon shouts, maybe the best line of the episode. He just goes, ah, duck! Duck? Who says duck? That does not, I mean, nobody would say that. That extra doesn't feel like a thing Damon would say.
Yes, that's so true. I feel like he'd say, incoming!
Yeah, or get down or something. Yeah, duck.
So we go to Alaric's classroom where Elena arrives, and this is giving a lot of mind fuckery. Alaric says to her, you know, free her yourself. And obviously Elena like goes over and tries, and Alaric just like pops the pencil back down and is like, how many times do I have to tell you to stop trusting vampires? Like, what do you want her to do? Like, it's all of this is just so unnecessary. And it very much has Esther's energy stamp on it of, yep, like, hypocrisy and just unnecessary BS and, like, preying on someone who is, like, vulnerable and, like, loves and cares about people who are complicated. Like, I just hate all of it. So we go back to our favorite storyline, which is Klaus being a resourceful Slytherin and being like, I think you're gonna want to let me in. And he like is looking around like, what can I use? And he goes over to the neighbors and he sees a ball, perfect, and a white picket fence.
Symbolism.
Absolutely. Is there anything better than the metaphor of Klaus taking someone else's white picket fence and turning it into stakes to throw inside the house? I wrote in my notes, all out fence throwing war.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I wanted to talk about this episode. I actually remember this lasting much, much longer because it's so good. But actually, yes, in retrospect, probably the little bit is what makes it so funny. I mean, yeah, it's just, this is a perfect moment. The music, the editing, the yes, weird makeshift, like, battle gear. Like, I mean, when he walks up with the propane tank, I lose
it. Oh my
it.
God, that is I died. Just,
yeah.
I love that during this war, also, Stefan's, now that he's polite Stefan again, he can't miss a phone call because he's in the middle. He's like, oh, look, my phone is ringing.
Well, and Damon is like, yeah.
Yeah.
And Damon is just like, I mean, like, I don't know, protect the humans, do something. He's just like egging Klaus on, missed me again. Like, useful. What are you doing?
So good. Oh, amazing. And you can kind of tell that Klaus is having fun, which just makes me
like fun Klaus.
Oh, my boy. This moment that you just talked about when Klaus like walks up to the house with like a tank of gasoline and a lit newspaper and he's like about to go at it. And Stefan immediately is like, so Alaric has Caroline and Elena, and suddenly they are all on the same team, mm-hmm, and he throws the lit torch down on the ground, which I don't recommend doing on a flammable porch, but TV magic, it doesn't do anything. And they start to brainstorm a plan to take Alaric down. There's a great Damon line in the scene where he's like, shouldn't you at least care about Caroline, or has she rejected you too many times? And yeah. I was like, yeah. But Bonnie obviously is the only one with a workable strategy. And also the only one smart enough to stay inside the house still. Like, I'd be negotiating from the other side of that door. Like, why would you go out of the port? I don't know.
I mean, there is something very, very funny about the fact, and obviously they're not going to let him in, but it still strikes me as just very funny when they walk outside to talk to him. Like, this, like, big, like, meeting of the minds, we need to plan this battle thing, happens outside in broad daylight in full view of the entire neighborhood.
Yeah, what must the neighbors think?
Yeah, seriously.
But Bonnie is the one who's like, maybe I could use that desiccation spell. Klaus puts a ticking clock on it. He's like, well, the sun sets in 8 hours and then Alaric can get out of the high school. This sounds like a board game. It really sounds like a board game. Like, each turn, like, the sun, like, goes another hour and you have to do it before Alaric can get out of the school and then he comes after all of you. Anyway, that's how I love board games. And I also like that throughout all of this, Damon's just, like, holding a small piece of white fence.
Yeah, what is that gonna do?
The neighbors are like, oh, that looks like ours. That's ours!
Yeah, what is happening? How is nobody, like, I mean, there are no, nobody notices this?
Mystic Falls is just so, the men in black show up frequently just to, like, flash things at the neighbors.
That would explain some things, it really would.
So we go to the classroom, unfortunately, where he's torturing Caroline, and Elena tries to stop him, and Alaric is like, sit down, this is my classroom, and I'm evil now, and blah, blah, blah. And he starts to talk Elena into killing Caroline. It's like, evil Alaric lessons. So we go to the Salvatore living room, where Bonnie and Damon have a great little moment together before Abby arrives. I just, like, you're so right. Like, their banter is great. Like, it rivals Damon and Catherine for me.
I think it's better.
Yeah, exactly. They are.
I mean, I love them together.
Peanut butter and jelly. Yum. Go great.
Yeah, I'm not one of the Bonnie Damon shippers. I think they'd be terrible as a couple. I just like the two of them on screen together.
Same.
They're great.
Yes. You can just feel it. The chemistry between the two actors is fantastic.
I mean, Klaus and Bonnie, it's small. They have a good moment on the porch, though, too. Like, they have, Bonnie is good for banter with the bad boys.
Yes.
Like, she knows how to hold her own in a way that, like, doesn't fully, like, you know, like, activate them, but, like, gets under their skin in a way that's very funny.
And she also can plan on the level with them.
Yeah.
She's been brought to the table here because she's the only one with real ideas. And at the same time, this is, like, it must be very heartbreaking for her to have to reach out to Abby so soon, because she probably didn't ever want to see her again after what happened. And I think Bonnie is, like, the queen of compartmentalization.
Yes. She has to be.
Exactly. So we go to the Mystic Falls parking lot, where this is great. I love that Klaus is all about the love triangle and such a gossip.
Oh, I love this so much. Yeah.
He talks to Stefan. He's been hard on Stefan the whole season. And in this scene, he calls him Elena's better option. And of course he's
Team
Stefan.
Because he wants to be his boyfriend.
Exactly.
Because
he knows personally what a great boyfriend he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need that fanfic.
They're not talking about Elena.
No.
This is not, I mean, this is classic triangulation. They're talking about Elena, but they're not talking about Elena. This is about their sublimated feelings for each other.
100%.
Just kiss already. Just kiss already. Just please.
Yes.
I'm done. So sorry. I'm done.
No.
That was an outburst.
Never apologize. Please have more outbursts. I'm honestly down for the spinoff where, like, Klaus takes Elena and Stefan just tags along and it's just their life. I'm good.
Or
I'm
just
good
reboot
it.
Maybe make it just like a Klaus, Stefan, insert sibling here triangle show. We don't need Elena. I'm nothing if not an idea person.
Yes.
I got ideas. Got ideas, man.
Send it to the network.
Yes.
We go to the Salvatore living room where obviously things are cold between Damon and Abby as they should be. But once we kind of get past that little moment, Bonnie is explaining to Abby why she wants to do the desiccation spell. And Abby is like, I don't think you should do this. Here's the warning label, you know, something about, like, this will take you to places of temptation, places you can't handle. She says the spell asks for a human heart to essentially stop as the price of putting Alaric down. And I love Damon's line, Bonnie, I don't speak witch. What is happening?
Yeah.
And I have to wonder, and I genuinely don't know if we ever find out because I am a little bit of a goldfish. I wonder who the human is that Abby killed for Michael's desiccation spell.
I don't think we find that out.
Oh my God.
I don't think we ever learn that.
That's a huge opportunity for, like, the past to be important. and maybe why Abby left. Maybe that could have been an interesting thing about why Abby left. Just saying.
I feel like whenever I come on, this is what we always come back to. All of the ways that they have failed this family.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to ignore. It's just there in every corner, but...
Yeah. There is something else to this scene that is, like, not the point, but it is... This is a question I have about vampire stuff in general, and it comes up here, is the rules around property ownership.
Oh, totally. They mentioned that at the beginning of the scene where they're like, Elena used to live here, but now she died temporarily and can't...
Right. But here's the thing, and this is like, I mean, this goes back to Dracula, like the novel Dracula, if you've ever read it, is all about like real estate business dealings and like lots of legal papers getting signed. And like, I mean, I understand what like it has to do with the way that vampires are this like distinctly Western capitalist monsters that are invested in property. And that is all stuff that is out in the zeitgeist. But how does, like, Elena died for a second and then came back to life, but like, presumably her signature is still the same. She signed those papers. Shouldn't the papers just like reactivate legally? I don't know. Like, where does magic and like U.S. laws around property owner, like, where does one start to trump the other? I don't understand these rules.
The Gilbert house, like, who?
Probably Jeremy.
But he obviously is like 16, 17, can't legally. Yeah. No, we need someone who is a vampire fan and a lawyer, like a real estate lawyer. To come on and just like
a vampire lawyer, maybe,
and a vampire therapist, a vampire team.
Question: These are the things that I think about when my mind is allowed to roam free and nobody appreciates it.
It makes me so happy. You've come to the right place for these thoughts.
Thank you for having me.
Well, speaking of a good vampire team, outside Mystic Falls High, we get our little group together. First, Bonnie shows Damon like her version of Find My Friends. Which is great. And he's like, digital locator spell. What do we need you for then? And she's like, hey.
It is incredible how poorly the technology has aged. And I feel like I don't remember it looking that silly, but maybe it did. And that was just what was cutting edge back then.
I think so. Because what is this, like 2011?
Something like that, yeah.
I had a flip phone still.
Huh.
Yeah.
What did I have? I was in grad school.
Oh, no. I had a razor, or like, you know, those, or a rumor, you know, those things that like go flip, they flip out, and you get the little keyboard.
Oh, yay. I wanted one of those.
Oh, it was so awesome.
Because of Gossip Girl. Blair Waldorf had one of those. I wanted one of those so bad. No, I just had a boring old BlackBerry.
I liked texting in class because you could do that without looking down.
Yeah.
And now you can't text on your phone without looking. You will send something that you can't do it by touch.
Yeah. Should any of my students be listening to this? Don't text during class. Yeah.
That's right.
PSA.
Do as I say, not as I do. Oh my gosh. I can only imagine what you're going to offer like next year, which is like vampires and real estate, like deep dive. Like that would
that'd
be so down.
I actually do. Not a deep dive, but we do talk about this in my classes. Next week, in fact, I'm teaching this semester a class on horror films. And next week we're watching the second episode of the AMC Interview with the Vampire. And that was not predominantly about property, but I have a feeling property is going to come
up. That's amazing. Oh, my God. I'm really sad that I don't live near your campus. I can't attend.
Yeah, I'll just zoom you in.
I'll just be like, hello, I'm observing.
It's like a digital astral projector spell or something.
Yes. Find my friends. My God. Well, back to Bonnie and Damon. They walk over to Jeremy, who he insists on being the person whose heart they're trying to stop while wearing his ring, which is weird that Damon tries to talk him out of it because, I mean... I guess he doesn't want another mini Alaric running around. That's fair. But, you know, Jeremy has shown a good deal of anti-vampire sentiment for, like, many episodes in a row. And that was the only real warning sign for Alaric. So there's something there.
That's true. This is about protecting Elena. He doesn't care about Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah. Never has. And have no. I? No. All right.
No. Sorry.
Yeah, he's right up there with Tyler. I don't know who I give a shit about less, unless they are together in a gay relationship, and then I am all about them.
I would be interested in that, yes.
Yes. Missed opportunities. Speaking of our gay relationships, Stefan and Klaus come over and Bonnie details the plan to everyone. She's like, drink some of my blood. It connects us all together so that when you make contact with Alaric's veins, I can do this spell and we can bring him down. And Klaus decides that this is the moment that he's gonna reveal that he's their bloodline papa. And they're all kind of like, I don't know. Like, they're like, you could just be saying this. And he's like, I could be, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, sure. Everything else is already so insane. Like, of course it's you.
The timing is odd. And for all of the reasons you just said, they don't know what to do with it. But I feel like in terms of like the structure of the episode, this is about establishing them all as family so that when Elena at the very end calls like her friends, her family in the kitchen, it packs kind of a double punch.
Mm.
Like, this is a family. This is about framing different.
Sort yeah.
Conglomerations? That's not the right word. That's not the word I'm
looking for. Yeah, no, the, like the found family of it all.
Yeah, like different arrangements of these characters as all in various ways each other's family.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I have some notes
about that. Configurations. That was the word I was looking for.
I have some notes about that scene that we'll get to later.
Yeah, yeah.
But back in the classroom, evil Alaric is telling Elena that her parents wouldn't be proud of her, and he's trying to manipulate her to kill Caroline. He has major narcissistic boyfriend vibes here. Like, this is like...
I can't think of a more brutal thing to say to a young person who has lost her parents. Right. That is an awful thing to say.
Right. It's like he's used everything that he knows about her. And it's the same thing with Caroline, where he's like, she told me she killed someone and liked it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like taking these little things that people have told you in vulnerable moments or that you've seen and then using it against them.
Mm-hmm.
Just this is like the most emotionally evil thing. But I do love, I gotta say, Elena... this was one of the moments where I was like, ooh, this might be my favorite scene, where like instead of staking Caroline, she like turns around to try to stake Alaric, and he catches her and he's like, oh, I thought I taught you better than that. And she says, you did. And she like vervain bombs him, and it's awesome. And she goes to Caroline, go get help.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You just answered a question that I had. I don't know how. I didn't put together that that was vervain and that that was the vervain he was using for the gag on Caroline. I yes. thought it was bourbon. And I was like, how is bourbon making this bourbon?
No, I became sober the second I became a vampire. Yeah.
Wow, not firing on a lot of cylinders here.
No, yeah, I love it. I think it's resourceful of her. She's really, this is a good episode for Elena. Really good.
It really is.
And she uses all of her classic, like, I care about my relationships. I am the arbiter of, like, you know, what integrity is and how to stand up for it in a gray sort of world. Like, mm-hmm. she uses a lot of her self-sacrifice, like, classic hallmarks of her personality, but it's not annoying here. It's, like, very, very well done for her. This is a shining moment for her. And meanwhile, Caroline's free now and doesn't know what the fuck to do. She's like, oh, I'm free. Oh, fuck. And this scene, Deanna.
Yeah.
This
was another one. I'm with you.
I love this. This is my favorite. How much do I want Joseph Morgan to whisper in my ear and tell me I'm safe? How mm-hmm. much do I want? So much. So much.
Well, even just like the way she just quietly just says thank you and then runs off. I mean, it's... This is a showcase episode for Joseph Morgan, yes. for Klaus as a character, and for him as an actor. He just has so many big and small moments that are just incredible. Obviously leading up to what happens at the end. But yeah, this is one that we can savor.
It makes me melt.
Not unlike Alaric's face.
Love those segues.
So sorry.
No, I'm
so
sorry. I'm here for any segue. So Alaric brutally pushes Elena into the lockers. And she's kind of like egging him on at this point. Like she's learned how to read villains. Like she really has. And she's like, okay, what's important to him here? Like she's not just fearing for her mm-hmm. life. She's like, oh, he's kind of torturing me, but he doesn't seem like he could have killed me by now. Why hasn't he killed me? He has no humanity left. And so she eggs him on. She's like, kill me. Do it.
You know who this really reminds me of?
Who?
Catherine. This is Catherine. Catherine looks 15 steps ahead.
Oh, Elena, our baby, our Petrova baby. Mm-hmm. She's growing up into a Petrova adult.
Well, oh. We'll put Trevor Blood in there after her. After yeah. her. After all. Wow. It's happening to me.
She's blooming. But Stefan and Damon show up. And I haven't seen a stunt quite like this yet, where in this show where he throws Stefan parallel to the ground as he snaps his neck.
It's a great crazy. Fight scene. Yeah, yeah, this is a fantastic fight scene.
Well shot. Like, usually they get up close so that you can't really see much of what's happening, but they have this mm-hmm. Wide shot of him just taking both of them down so quickly. And then of course Klaus is the real MVP, who comes in mm-hmm. and he taps into a vein in Alaric's chest so that Bonnie can start the spell. And so for some reason they're out in the forest. Who didn't bring Jeremy a little pillow? Come on.
Yeah, why aren't they just in the school parking lot or something? Why do they have to be this far away?
Be on the picnic table or something. I don't want to lie down in a bunch of pine needles.
They were in the school parking lot when they all drank her blood, and then they went to the woods?
Yeah, I don't understand. She's chanting over his body out there, and meanwhile, Alaric rips Klaus off of him. The connection breaks. She realizes something's wrong. And then right as Alaric is right over Klaus and about to stake him, Elena saves the day with her own signature self-sacrifice, holds a knife to her neck, and she's like, Esther linked your life to mine. It's why you won't kill me. I guess I'll just kill myself. And he's all like, you're wrong. But then she starts to slit her own neck and he's like, no, 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 no. And Klaus grabs Elena and escapes because in this moment, Alaric was thrown off his rhythm. Because she was one step ahead of him.
I will say, this episode is full of kind of clunky ways of just getting exposition out. Like the bit about her not owning the house, and then this, it's just a long speech about the rules of original Alaric. But I don't know, it's a good enough episode where it kind of works. Normally when the show pulls this, and it pulls it a lot,
yes,
it's really obnoxious. And this, I'm kind of
it goes.
I'm not fully buying it, but I'm okay with it.
As things stream, we become different audience members. When things are on television and you're watching them on network and people think that it's just going to be on network between commercials, maybe you're flipping back and forth between channels, I can see the writers going, oh, this is going to benefit more people than not mm-hmm. to have this explained here. And then, of course, they've got it for the previously on for the next episode. It's so weird that I've started to think that way. But I'm like, oh, that's the snippet they're going to use next episode.
Yeah. I mean, I think streaming audiences in general, we've been sort of conditioned to watch this. But then people like you and I who rewatch and rewatch and rewatch.
Yes.
These moments kind of get, at least for me, start to get under my skin more than they really should.
Absolutely.
Yeah. More than is fair.
No, there's a real art to it that they kind of skip over the art part sometimes.
They do,
but then not in other parts, which is very, very cool. I think the cinematography is doing great. They are killing it.
I mean, it is very, very clear in terms of the quality of this episode on all levels that they are gearing up for a season finale.
Yeah, totally.
This could have been a season finale. The season finale of the season, without saying anything, is
absolutely
eons just more mind blowing than this.
Yes,
but this is a very good lead in to that.
Yes, well. We go to our Michelson Mansion set, and unlike Caroline, Elena does not get a white knight out of Klaus. He's saved her only to start to drain her of all of her blood so that he could kill Alaric. Kill two birds, one stone. And Tyler is there, and he gets sort of frozen in sort of disobeying Klaus. They have this straight up struggle, and mm-hmm. ultimately Tyler is like, oh, okay, I'll go to get more blood bags, in quotes, or he pretends like he's going to. And then in the next scene, Damon wakes up and he's like, oh, why am I alive? Which is a great little moment. I love it.
Yeah. And then Bonnie's calling.
Alaric stands over Stefan and Damon and is like, Klaus is going to kill Elena. Do what you do best. You're only alive because of her. Get out there. This is their lucky day. So we go back to the Michelson Mansion where Elena says to Klaus that his sibling bonds... Does he say it to her? Where his sibling bonds are more important than his hybrids? I think he says it.
Yeah.
He
does.
Which is where was this energy when Rebecca was there?
And I think that's that's what I was talking about. There is a part of him that understands this, and then there is a part of him that can't be this.
Yeah. And she kind of accurately points out that he wants a backup family.
Yeah.
She's like, really? If all
Which
of
is
this...
true.
Yeah, it is true. Because he's a little wounded, abandoned boy.
It's almost like he needs his own series to fully explore this.
Yes, but I also like that he gets this idea from Stefan. Stefan said this earlier where he was like, you know, you've tried to pull me and Damon apart, but all you've done has made us closer. And he says that, but with Esther's sort of homicidal attempts. And instead of like dealing with what she says about the backup family, he sort of deflects and he says, well, mm-hmm. you're coming between the Salvatore brothers. That's why you won't choose, is because you know that the second that you pick, like, you're going to drive a rift between them. And she kind of...
But just between us girls, who would you have picked?
Oh, it's so good. I love him as a gossip. He needs to have his own, like,
yeah, that's...
Hollywood, like, access show. Like, I could see Klaus being like...
Like, oh, Drew Barrymore. He's a Drew Barrymore, type. Yeah, that line and his delivery, it has to be one of my top, like, five best moments of the entire series.
Good. And of course she refuses to answer and he leaves her to die and is like, you're welcome, because he knows her so well that she'd rather die than mm-hmm. hurt the people that she loves.
Yep.
But who is here but Tyler? He comes in to rescue her and Klaus obviously catches him, realizes that the Sire Bond is broken. And this is more clunky exposition about how he did that. But Tyler goes to like help Elena up and Klaus pushes her out of his mm-hmm. arms, leading her to just like kind of clonk her head on something.
Like, yeah.
And Klaus really starts to go at Tyler, but just in the nick of time, see what I did there? Just in the nicknames. Okay. Just in the nick of time, Stefan and Damon stop him and they start the desiccation spell on him instead of Alaric. And we cut to Bonnie and she's doing the spell. She's stopping Jeremy's heart. There's a very Dark Willow vibe to this where like the veins, like mm-hmm. they have a lot of the same imagery of what it means to have like, yeah. you know, power sort of come through you. And there's this slight smile on her face from all the power that she's feeling as Abby's mm-hmm. words echo in our minds. And it works. Klaus's heart stops and he makes this meaningful eye contact with Stefan, like right before.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like a pleading look. This kind of like, why?
Well, and honestly, I mean, Klaus has tears in his eyes, but so does Stefan.
Mm.
Like, this is not, you know, like, I think if they had done the close-up on Damon, Damon would have just kind of looked triumphant or whatever. Yes. Like, Stefan is, they don't explore this as much as they should have, but,
no.
like, this is not an easy thing for Stefan to do. He's killing right. his boyfriend.
Yes. This could be a Buffy Angel moment, you know?
Yeah, it really
like,
could.
He's evil,
really could.
So I have to do this, but, like, he's not just one thing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And gray he goes.
Heartbreak.
Back to the forest. Something is weird with Bonnie. She's like, she kind of has to come to, and she realizes that she needs to wake Jeremy up, and he does so after scaring the shit out of her.
I like that the way she wakes him up, though, is she just like pounds on him like he's a broken piece of machinery. like
she just whacks him.
Yeah, like it's like she unplugs him and plugs him back in, and he's just back.
Did you bang on it? Did you turn it on and off again? So back at the Michelson mansion, we're sort of dealing with this. Damon takes Elena home. Stefan is left to clean up his big, bad, gray, unconscious ex-boyfriend. And we see Damon and Stefan escort Elena to her door. This is a very, I think, rewatched scene, probably yeah. on YouTube. I think it's one of the only times where she really vocalizes anything about anything obvious.
Yeah.
And she apologizes for the part that she's playing in not deciding between them, because she's obviously reflected on Klaus's words. And it's so awkward, but I'm so glad that she does say something.
Interesting.
And she...
Because I hate that she yeah. says it, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what she thinks she's giving them in saying this. Like, she... This whole speech seems to, at least to me... It seems to be about her seeking their reassurance that if she chooses one, she won't lose the other. And like Damon has this head tilt that he does at Stefan that always, it always reads to me as if he's telling Stefan, tell her she won't lose us. And Stefan doesn't, you know, Stefan just like changes the subject and is like, no, we're going to leave now. I don't know. Maybe I could be misreading. And also, this is the beauty of...
I love that reading.
Well, thank you.
I love that reading. I think that's great. That's interesting. I didn't get the subtle... I can totally see it, but I just see it more as like, she just had this thing with Klaus. He just talked to her about this. And also she's thinking about him choosing between families, choosing between his, you know, his blood family and a maid family. And she's thinking about them and thinking about, you know, and she does explain, like, I can't lose anyone else. But she doesn't say the obvious part, which is like, get good with each other.
Yeah.
I want you to get good with each other so that you don't lose each other.
Well, and this is what it is about this whole speech that I don't like, is that it is so entirely about her, and it's always about her. Right. And there is, right. There's so much more to explore there. And I feel like in framing it this way, she's being, I mean, obviously she's being selfish. I feel like she's being kind of mean. Like she's somehow putting it on them to make some kind of choice that is entirely unfair.
That's fair. It would have been a better speech if she had actually said, you know, I need you two to work out your shit, and I want you to be good, you know, and yeah. I don't want to drive a wedge between you.
Yeah. And instead it's just, I don't want to lose you.
Yeah, that's fair. And she returns to that sentiment later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was with you about this is a good episode for Elena, but also then she just is Elena.
This is progress for her. She doesn't talk about her feelings. This is her going from denial to something else. Bargaining, I guess. So we go to the Gilbert kitchen, where Caroline is throwing a victory party for putting Klaus down. And Tyler comes over and like does like a little shot for a Klaus-free life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but when anyone gets a little bit too excited about a victory, it makes me very nervous.
It's almost like this show has conditioned us to feel that way.
It's almost like the show is emotionally abusing us.
I will say, I don't know about this scene either. I mean, it's a very like gif-able scene, and it's,
yes,
it does what it needs to do for some of these characters. But I feel like they're like the writer's room needed to take this like a step beyond, because yeah, okay, from their perspective, except maybe Caroline, it's a win. But as viewers by this point, like Klaus is more than just a villain. Like we are not there with them. And so it doesn't it doesn't fully feel like a fully baked moment.
Yeah.
Like this, the whole thing exists for Elena to say, you're my family. Like that's what this scene is for. But Klaus's death is a much more complicated thing for the viewer than it is like for them. And so I don't know, something doesn't work for me.
No, that's totally right on. And the thing about Caroline being like, you're gonna have to choose. No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't. You know, that's like the writers being like, don't worry, we're gonna have a decision for you by next episode, it feels like to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of like a friend saying to a friend, hey, you've just been through this traumatic thing, but by the way, you're gonna have to choose. It just, also, it doesn't land.
For that to come from Caroline, I mean, if Caroline were to bring this up at all, it would be choose Stefan. It wouldn't be you're going to have to choose.
Right, which has been her tune.
Yeah.
Like she's been on the choose Stefan. Well, in decisions that don't quite land, let's move over to the Lockwood Mansion, where I guess Alaric has gone the bureaucracy route, where he's going to out Liz and Karen to the council.
He really is evil.
We don't know anyone on the council. I feel like this also doesn't land. Like, I love the shots of the random extras that we've never met before who look around. It just feels toothless. Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Like, he's like, her son is half vampire, half werewolf. And there's this extra that's like, I didn't even know there were werewolves in our show. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, what is this for, dude?
Yeah, I mean, the episode really could have ended with the shot in the kitchen. It could have ended with them in the car. It could have been, this could have been like a letter that's revealed to us or something, prompting, you know, what this prompts, but it doesn't work.
Yeah. Or if we had given any, I know that we have a lot of characters in this show, and so it's a lot to ask for them to keep track of this, but if we knew anyone on the council that was sort of blissfully unaware of a lot of this stuff,
yeah,
it would land more. you know, but instead it just kind of feels like, okay.
I mean, also, is nobody gonna say, but you're also a vampire to him?
Right. Yeah. Hypocrite.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't land. I think they're trying to give Alaric a full circle moment from the beginning of the season when he was like, I deserve a seat on the council. Mm-hmm. Who's protecting the people of this town? Right. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, intellectually, we can understand what the scene is doing. Again, it's not hitting. It doesn't work.
Exactly. Really. Yeah. Yeah. Because they didn't do the groundwork for it. So we go to the car. This is a very Supernatural Brothers moment.
Yes, it really is. And they're 100%. Both shows play with each other so much. And I love it. It's so, like, they're so aware of each other and they make fun of each other, like, consistently. And I love both shows.
Yeah, I love the little moment where Damon reaches back and, like, pats the coffin with Klaus in it. Just little great playful moments like that just, like, make the show for me.
Yeah,
how do you feel about this scene?
I mean, I eye roll yeah. A little bit. Like, I mean, she's a pretty special girl, they say, but, ugh, like, is she though?
Is she? I was thinking, like, that she... too, as she goes into a room and paints the thing she painted earlier. I'm like, oh no, this can't be Elena's first brain damage.
Oh, that was a note I had too.
She's a pretty special girl. She gets up in the night, she paints things. Mostly things she's painted before.
Also, what is that paint color? I mean, I know this is beside the point, but that paint color is awful.
What do you think this is called? Like, booger green? Like, you need to get that checked out? Like, what is it? What are we calling
it? It's like faded Hunter Lodge green. Mm. Like, it's like, I don't know. It doesn't belong in a bedroom. And I don't understand, you know, their whole excuse is, oh, it's what we have laying around. But, like, what did you have it from?
From what?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the many town events that they
yeah.
had to do.
Yeah. Maybe it was used for a float, but it certainly should not be used for a room.
I have to say, to give a little cred to this scene, I like that Damon does first consider that Elena won't choose either of them. He's like, she could choose neither of us. And then I also like that he's like, yeah, but only 60 years of that and everything will go back to normal. Like, just assuming that Elena will remain human throughout their relationship, which is also steps for them, you know?
That does kind of, I mean, to use your phrasing, because it works so well for the show, that also takes the teeth out of the whole thing, though, because if this is just about them getting through the next 60 years, then what have these three seasons been for?
Yeah, as if they're not going to continue to have issues because of the vampire in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the elephant vampire. Mm-hmm. In the room. Oh, wow, an elephant who is a vampire. That actually sounds worse than Alaric being a vampire. Elephants are crazy.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Okay, so I feel like we don't have enough as a culture, like, animal vampires. Like, my favorite book when I was a mm-hmm. kid, this is probably the reason for why I am the way that I am, was Bunnicula. Do you know that book about, like, a bunny vampire?
Did you know that I did an episode on Bunnicula?
No.
That was one of my April Fools because it was my first. That's crazy.
What's that? I've listened to the podcast. Okay, I have to go back.
I'll send it to you. I did it with my mom because she can't, she doesn't like scary things. And I was like, remember Bunnicula? And she was like, oh, okay, yeah. Like a children's book.
I mean, yeah, my mom is always like, how are you, like, where did you find vampires? How are you still into vampires? I'm like, I don't know. Where did that book come from? I was like 5. I didn't buy it. This is your fault.
It's a great book. Oh my god, I love that you just said
more
that.
Animal vampires though. Animal vampires, that is more. That's the next frontier of 21st century American media. You heard it here first.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, elephant vampire with the tusks. Do they grow, like,
yes, exactly,
like, are the tusks the fangs, or are there fangs on top of the tusks, or, like,
oh,
that's a thinker.
They would have to be sucking tusks. They would have to be sucky tubey tusks.
Yeah, I guess they'd have to, like, angle differently.
Yeah.
And also, like, what would they feed on? I mean, they're so big.
I was just about to say that. My God.
Okay.
I think we have similar brains.
We might actually be sharing the same brain cell right now.
Yeah.
Because where I'm about to go is, okay, hear me out. Jurassic Park with vampires.
If that hasn't already been pitched somewhere, I don't understand Hollywood.
And this is how I lose my job. Somebody listens to this and goes, no more of this.
I love it. Hot off the presses.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Bringing it back. We're almost there.
We're almost there. We go to the guest bedroom that is now a booger hunter green at the Gilbert house. And Elena says that Alaric was right about killing all the vampires. She's like, maybe we should. But then we lose these people and this. I love she lists like all the people that matter to people she loves. And then she's like, the mayor loses her son.
Right? Yeah, I caught that too. Like, isn't Tyler your friend?
Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely not.
Tyler just outed himself to Klaus to try to save you. Like, yeah. He deserves more than the mayor's son.
Speaking of parental figures, this is one of the first times I asked myself, since Jenna died, who is in charge of these teens? Like, did Elena inherit Jeremy?
Well, like, I mean, Elena's 18, so I guess, right. Yeah. I guess, yeah, I mean, on Buffy.
But wouldn't social services...
Oh, yeah, presumably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because Buffy acknowledged that. Yeah, there was...
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Doris. Justice for Doris. That's a deep cut, sorry. Buffy lives. Buffy is just, like, in... Buffy's in my veins. Like, I just...
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I went to a family wedding and, like, was, like, killing time beforehand, like, in the hotel, and Buffy was on, and I was like, oh, my God, and I was so sad to go to the wedding.
That has definitely happened to me more than once.
It was the Jonathan episode too.
I love that episode.
He's like the superstar.
Oh, it's
yes.
So good.
Anyway, this is not a Buffy podcast.
We should just do a Buffy podcast. This keeps turning into a Buffy.
I know. This is the most melodramatic soap opera ending.
Oh yeah.
Of a Vampire Diaries episode where Elena just collapses from an apparent brain bleed and then they leave us hanging.
It's a nosebleed. Like, I don't know. It looks like a nose. Like, she's just bleeding out of her nose. Like, it's a gray, yeah. Like, you know, that with the white paint and then the red drops of blood. It looks cool, but I don't know where we're at brain bleed from the severity of what this is. Her nose is bleeding. I don't know.
But she did pass out. Not many people pass out with a nosebleed.
Fair enough. Maybe I just don't really care about Elena. I'm more upset about the fact that Klaus is about to get dropped in the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely. We have our priorities straight.
Yeah.
Well, Deanna, who are you taking and who are you staking from this episode?
I mean, I'm taking Joseph Morgan. I mean, Klaus, to a certain extent, but like this is Joseph Morgan's episode. Like, he's so terrifying. He's so heartbreaking. He's so funny. Like, yeah. He earned that previously on.
Yes.
Good job, Joseph Morgan. And I mean, staking, like, it's got to be Alaric, right? Like, there's maybe the ugly paint color, but like, this is Alaric.
Yes. You and I can help Rebecca and Caroline stake him all together.
Like, yes.
It could be four women just staking him.
Two Barbies and two whatever the hell we are.
Podcasties. Yeah. Yep. I like that. That is absolutely who I'm staking to. But I'm taking Abby to a vampire therapist who can help her heal her relationship with herself and Bonnie and Jamie through all of this, especially now knowing that this magic would have affected her and that she has to deal with the trauma of having taken a life in order to, like, protect the people. Like, I can just imagine the immense shame that comes up in the face of that, and that that's heightened because she's a vampire, and yet she still showed up in this episode for Bonnie. We didn't get enough of a focus on that, and so I am taking her to vampire therapy.
It sounds like you're also staking the writers once again for failing the Bennett women.
Yeah, it goes without saying at this point.
Yeah.
It's just every single...
Just permanent stakeage throughout.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Bridget, I was wondering, is there by any chance a word of the day?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Yes, there is. Today's word of the day is memento. Memento is a noun. It's a synonym of souvenir, refers to something that is kept as a reminder of a person, place, or thing.
I got it.
Okay, you go.
Damon keeping that part of the fence post was totally a memento of his love for Klaus and his nonsense.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm going to say that paint color is an odd memento of all of the memories of the people that have stayed in this room.
I mean, maybe it's so ugly that, like, you can't really think about all those people because you're thinking about how ugly it is, in which case, okay.
It's an anti-memento. That's all for Before Sunset. You can support the podcast by going to the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, following the show on social media, which is also in the show notes, or by leaving us a great review. You can also write into us at dearvampdiaries@gmail.com. I have been your host, Bridget, and Deanna has been our guest today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me again.
Tune in next time to find out what the name of that paint color is that Jeremy and Elena painted their spare bedroom.
Tune in next time to see if the other side of the room ever gets painted.
I like that we both did it about it.
We share a brain cell. Like, we really do. This is what this is revealed.
Tune in next time to find out what we name our shared brain cell.
Dear Diary, I don't speak witch.
Dear Diary, why don't you just give us one day, just one day, without any vampires in it?
Dear Diary, perhaps this plan won't be an epic failure after all.
Dear Diary, Alaric Saltzman is supposed to be dead.